காலை மட்டும் பிடிச்சு போயிட்டு வச்சுருக்கேன், ரெட் லைட் எரியுதான்னு பார்க்கணும்.
Nama Atma Pradipaya Sakshane Paramatmane Namo Giram Viduraya Manasas Chetasamapi. For my respectful obeisances. Atma Pradipaya, unto he who is self effulgent. Sakshine, who is situated in everyone's heart as a witness. Paramatmane, unto the Supreme Soul. Nama, I offer my respectful obeisances. Giram, by words, Viduraya, who is impossible to reach. Manasa, by the mind. Chetasam, or by consciousness. Api, even. Translation, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of God, of the self-effulgent Supersoul, who is the witness of everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. Purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by the individual soul through mental, physical, or intellectual exercises. It is by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that individual soul is enlightened. Therefore, the Lord is described here as Atma Pradipa. The Lord is like the sun, which illuminates everything and cannot be illuminated by anyone. Therefore, if one is serious about understanding the Supreme, one must receive enlightenment from him, as instructed in Bhagavad Gita. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God by one's mental, physical, or intellectual powers. Translation, I offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Personality of God, the self-effulgent Supersoul, who is the witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. So, here is offering of respects to the Supreme Lord. And as we see, some of these functions are general. And in relation to the jiva. Because in the material world, the jivas are interested in how to establish a relationship with the Lord. In the spiritual world, of course, the jivas are free of contamination, and they don't think about how to access the Supreme Lord. But if we're in the material world, there's lots of difficulty. And the Supreme Lord at the same time provides opportunities for realization. So therefore, often we describe the Lord in relation to material world and how he functions with the jiva. And that particular aspect of the Lord who functions for the jiva in the material world is called Paramatma. generally, of course, we use the term Paramatma to mean the Lord in the heart. But of course, he's also situated on the milk ocean, and his expansions are in the heart, so to speak. But that term also applies to not only Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, but Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who produces Lord Brahma. And it also applies to Karnodakshaya Vishnu, who is beyond the material world and glances over Prakriti. So they're all Paramatmas, functions of the Lord in relation to material world. They give shelter to the Prakriti, to the universe, and to the jivas in the world. So Paramatma has these three functions in relation to the material world. And this is an aspect of Bhagavan. In one sense, they are very similar. Both have form, both have qualities, both have activities. But when Bhagavan functions in relation to material world, in terms of creation, maintenance, and destruction, then we call him Paramatma. And there is not much revelation of his personal qualities and his pastimes with his devotees. We don't see Paramatma having, you know, Damodar Leela or anything. If he does, then he is Bhagavan. But when he simply functions in the material world as creator, glancing over Prakriti, producing Lord Brahma, entering into all the jivas, etc., then he's called Paramatma. Same form, but functions are limited. So he does not display all of his qualities when he functions as Paramatma. He does function in relation to the jiva because he is inside the jiva witnessing everything. So he's called Shakshinat, the witness of everything of the jiva. But this is a little different from how the Lord functions with the jiva in the spiritual world. There he is Bhaktavatsala. So in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 9, Krishna says, Samoham Sarabhuteshu, I'm equal to everyone. He looks at everybody equally, and he witnesses everything. He doesn't interfere. So in the material world, in general, this is how Paramatma functions. When that same Paramatma begins to, or Vishnu form, functions in relation to the devotee with bhakti, then he becomes Bhagavan. So when Krishna says, I give you the intelligence by which you can come to me, and he starts, the Lord begins to take care of the devotee, he's Bhaktavatsala, then he is Bhagavan. You can say that one sense the same person, but he could also be, of course, one could be Krishna and one could be the Vishnu form. But because he functions differently, with different qualities, then we give him a different name. But he's the same person ultimately. So this is the Lord in his neutral aspect of creator, destroyer, and witness of everything in the material world. This is the Paramatma feature. And interesting for the jivas in the material world because he is always present. In other words, he never neglects the jiva. But also, he doesn't interfere. So some people may say, oh, the Lord does not do anything for us. He's there and he's looking. He may not do anything, but he's looking. This is one aspect of the Lord. Another term here is Atmarpadipa, which literally means lamp. Pradipa. Of course, it can mean, the literal meaning of Pradipa is lighting up extensively, Pradipa. But it means lamp in the material world. Who lights up the Atma. Who's Atma? One is, he lights up himself. So he is self-effulgent. So that's why we say sometimes he is but self-illuminating. This, of course, also applies to some degree to the jiva. The jiva also is self-illuminating because the jiva, by his nature, is conscious, and he's conscious of things, and he's conscious of himself. So in that sense, he lights up himself. he reveals himself to himself and to other things. So, Jiva is like that. Lord is also like that. However, the Jiva's function of being conscious of himself and other things is ultimately dependent on the Lord's presence. If the Lord says no, then the Jiva cannot function with his consciousness also. Therefore, his consciousness or his self-effulgence or self-illumination is dependent on the Lord's. The Lord's is not dependent on anyone. So that is the difference between calling them Atma Pradipa. Lord's illumination is completely independent. And because of his permission, the Jivas are allowed to be aware of themselves and reveal other things. So in that sense, the Lord is superior in his function of self-illumination. So that idea of dependence of the Jivas upon the Supreme Lord is also in this word Atma Pradipa. He gives the consciousness to the Atma, to the Jivas. Not only he's self-aware and independent, but he gives the consciousness to the Jivas by which they can be aware of themselves and other things. He is the revealer of everything for the Atma ultimately. So, another meaning here, of course, is that it is only by the Lord that we get a revelation of the Lord. In a sense that the illumination of the Lord to us is caused by Him, not by us. Even our revelation of Atma to ourselves is to some degree dependent on the Supreme Lord. That was our consciousness by which we are conscious of ourselves is given by the Lord. Now, how does the Jiva become aware of the Lord? By the Lord's mercy only. We cannot independently see the Lord. So the Lord reveals himself to the Jiva. Another meaning of Atma Pradipa. Not by our endeavor, but by the Lord's mercy only can we understand the Supreme Lord. So he has the power to reveal himself to us. So, therefore, this also puts the Lord in a higher position than the Jiva. So though he is the witness, which means that he looks at us, that does not imply that we can look at him. We can be the witness of our body and our activities and our consciousness, etc. But that does not mean that we can witness the Lord. But when it's applied to the Lord, he can witness himself and he can witness everything. He can witness us. So the only way in which we can witness the Lord or see the Lord is by his mercy. So, there's no use in describing the Lord and how he's in the Jiva and a witness of the Jiva unless we can be aware of him. If we're never aware of him, then there's a problem. What's the use of describing how he's in everybody, etc.? But therefore, by his mercy, we can also get a revelation of Paramatma. This, of course, is the ultimate goal of some of the yogis. Let me meditate upon this Paramatma feature. So they get a realization of this witness of everything in the material world. So these are functions of the Lord in relation to the material world. Because they are the Lord, realizations of the Lord who has a form and some qualities, this realization is superior to impersonal Brahman realization. Also because in realizing Paramatma, we have a distinction between the Atma and the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it's classed as a superior realization to Brahman realization. Paramatma realization, however, is a little bit, we could say, unstable in the sense that many of the people, the yogis, who may realize Paramatma, only use Paramatma to get liberation. And what is that liberation? That liberation is impersonal. So therefore, they can, with the mercy of Paramatma, just realizing him, they merge into Brahman, or they merge into Paramatma. So this is not considered very wonderful as far as the devotees are concerned, and not a very good goal. So in that sense, Paramatma realization is not so good if they ultimately use it to merge back into Brahman. So this is the negative aspect of Paramatma realization. So those yogis who do have, by association with other impersonalists, have this goal, then not a very valuable realization, because they give it up ultimately. They give up the realization of Paramatma. The positive aspect is, it is a step towards realizing Bhagavan, because he's the same form. So if the same yogi, he gets association of devotees, then he can develop attraction for the Lord with his personal form. Because he's, we can say the same form, Vishnu and Paramatma, the same. So in this sense, he can progress to bhakti. So we have some, we have Gyan Misra Bhakti and Karma Misra Bhakti, and then we have Yoga Misra Bhakti also. So it is a little easier for a person from Yoga Misra Bhakti to progress to pure bhakti, because the form of the Lord is there and he's not so interested in impersonalism or material things. So a little easier for him to progress to pure bhakti from that position of realizing the Supreme Lord. So that is the positive aspect of Paramatma realization. What is its limitation? Limitation is, as I said, we appreciate the Lord in his functions of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material worlds. We do not appreciate his functions in relation to rasa and devotees. So therefore, it's not such a complete realization. Therefore, the bliss also is less. This realization is put in the middle. We have Brahman, then we have Paramatma, and then we have Bhagavan. Bhagavan is superior. So in this progression, we have a gradual increase in realization of nature of Supreme Lord. From the very basic idea, he's simply something conscious and eternal, to having some qualities, creative functions in relation to the material world, and then having lots of qualities which don't even function in relation to creation of the material world at all. They manifest in relation to devotees. So that is Bhagavan. And we also get, along with the increase in realization of qualities of the Lord and functions of the Lord, increase in bliss. So the spiritual bliss with realization of Bhagavan is superior to Paramatma or Brahman. So though they're all aspects of realization of the Lord, we consider the Bhagavan realization as supreme. In this verse we have more or less a glorification of the Lord's functions as Paramatma. The other statement here is that he cannot be approached by words, by mind, or by consciousness. This is a general statement, because obviously what is happening, Gajendra is using words to approach the Lord and understand the Lord, and the Lord reveals himself to Gajendra. So it's a general statement. Normal words, we cannot approach the Lord by normal words, normal mind, or normal consciousness, that is material. words. In other words, with material words, we cannot describe the Lord. This is the subject of the discussion in the 87th chapter of 10th Canto. How can you describe the Lord with words? Because words are material. The Lord has no material qualities. And of course, as Brahman, you can't even describe any qualities at all, even spiritual or material. But even if he has spiritual qualities, you cannot describe him with material words. But definitely, material words, mind, etc., cannot give you approach to the Lord. Okay, this is also the Shruti statement. Huh? Lord is beyond mind and words. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad. That's normal words. But we also accept, and it is necessarily so because Scripture describes the Lord, and if it can't describe the Lord, it's all useless. So we do accept Scripture. So we do accept use of words. Words can describe the Lord, but they must be non-material words. In two ways. One, because it's Scripture. Scripture is not different from the Lord. Two, because it is realized with devotion. The devotees can understand the Scripture and get the proper meaning. And therefore, in this way, words can express the Supreme Lord. The devotees can express the Supreme Lord, and devotees quoting Scripture can express the Supreme Lord with words. So that's why I say this is limited. Words cannot approach the Lord. Material words, material minds, material consciousness cannot approach the Lord. So, with words which are spiritual and devotional and a mind which is filled with bhakti, yes, we can approach the Lord. But the very nature of this is the devotion. Devotion is not independent of the Lord. It depends on the Lord's mercy. So it is by the will of the Lord that he is revealed to the words and to the mind, etc. So we can't do it on our own. We can do it through bhakti, because bhakti is not independent. It's not an independent thing. It depends on mercy of the Lord. How is that? Bhakti emanates from the Lord directly. So, in other words, we can understand the Lord by bhakti, which is coming from the Lord. So part of the Lord helps, bhakti helps us get revelation of the Lord. So it's through the Lord's mercy that we get the revelation through the words, the mind, etc. Not independently. So, therefore, the words on their own and mind consciousness on its own, yes, definitely cannot approach the Supreme Lord. When it is filled with bhakti, when it is scriptural, based on the Scripture, then yes, there is approach to the Supreme Lord. So in this way, the Lord can become revealed, even though generally he is not revealed to the people of the material world. He can be revealed on several levels. As Brahman, of course, there's a problem there because Brahman has no qualities and no names. So how can Scripture describe him at all? So what use is Scripture to describe Brahman? In relation to Paramatma, yes, he's got qualities, form, etc. We can describe him very nicely, and Bhagavan very nicely. With Brahman, it is rather problematic. How can words be useful, etc.? This becomes a problem, of course, for impersonalists. What use is Scripture ultimately? It's material. How can it give revelation of something non-material? So it is problematic. It is not problematic for devotees because words become spiritualized. Mind becomes spiritualized, so no problem. For impersonalists, yes, it is a problem. So, our explanation of how through scripture you get impersonal realization is, again, yes, we can use scripture to get Brahman realization also. How? Mercy of the Lord. Independently? No. And just with scripture? No. But with the mercy of the Lord again. It is possible. So by the mercy of the Lord, those words which look material can actually have some function for him. And by the mercy of the Lord, the impersonals can get that impersonal liberation. So not a problem for the Supreme Lord to give liberation to the impersonalists. So the Lord is, for people in the material world, very far away, vidura. He's very inaccessible, etc., by normal means. But by the mercy of the Lord, he becomes available as Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan, according to our sadhana and according to our desire. Why we choose a certain sadhana and why we have a certain desire? Normally, association. So it is association which will push us towards jnana and impersonal realization, or towards yoga and paramatma realization, or towards bhakti and Bhagavan realization through association. So therefore, association becomes the key factor in the development of how we realize the Supreme Lord and how we get his mercy. If we associate with impersonalists, we get the mercy of realizing Brahman from the Lord. If we associate with yogis, then we get realization of Paramatma by Paramatma's mercy. And if we associate with devotees, then we get realization of Bhagavan by Bhagavan's mercy. Sadhu Sangha, devotional association, is very, very crucial to the how we realize the Supreme Lord. In any case, it is crucial for all realizations of the Lord, even for impersonalists. And even impersonalists need devotional association in order to get liberation, because they need the mercy of the Lord, and that is available through devotees. Therefore, the devotee is important on all levels for any type of realization. Here Gajendra is praying to the Supreme Lord in this aspect of being within the living entity. In that sense, he does not forget the living entity. He does not abandon him. He's not cruel. At the same time, he is only the witness of the living entity, the normal living entity, and in that sense, far away from him, because the jiva cannot see him. In that sense, he is not accessible by words, a mind, or intelligence, etc. However, though he's in that position for the normal person in the material world, if we use proper method, that is bhakti, then that same Lord who's neutral becomes accessible, and we can realize him as Bhagavan. So he functions as Paramatma for general function of the material world. He functions as Bhagavan for the devotee. So therefore, the Lord in any case is not very distant from the person at all. He's only distant in the sense that you can never realize him, even though he's very close. So this is the example of two birds in the tree. Two birds are there, next to each other. But one bird doesn't even see the other bird. That is the jiva. And he'll go on like that, life after life after life after life after life, and never see him. Then it describes, but if he turns towards the Lord and recognizes him, then he's free from misery. How can he recognize the other bird? So that is through devotional association. And then he begins the process of bhakti, etc. So in that sense, the Lord helps the person at that point where he gets devotional association. Then the Lord begins to help that person. And he functions as Bhagavan at that point. And then the Lord is never far from the devotee. He is very close to the devotee at that point. So, in this way, the Lord cannot be accused of indifference to the jivas. He responds according to the acceptance of the individual jiva. If the jiva does not accept the Lord, then the Lord is neutral. To the degree that we accept, the Lord responds. And therefore he responds in these different ways, with realization of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Spiritual world, no. He functions in relation to the material world. Merge into Paramatma or merge into Brahman according to their desire or by devotional association develop bhakti and go to Vaikuntha. Yeah, they're, generally their realization is the same, except the Gyani doesn't merge into Paramatma, he just merges into Brahman. Into Paramatma. That's considered worse, actually. Because he merges into the personal form of the Lord. It's considered worse. So therefore, repeatedly, the Lord manifests Mahavishnu glances and makes material worlds, and then the jivas go in and they get a chance, and then when they get too tired, then he puts them back in rest, and then he brings them out again like this. Yeah. It goes on eternally. He's important in the sense that he functions in relation to the material world. But what about the jivas in the spiritual world? For the jivas in the material world, yes, very important. For the what about the nitya status in the spiritual world? They don't even think about Paramatma. And the realization of bliss is much more. Material world, they have no bliss actually. They're just sleeping and then waking up and going material activities, go back to sleep again and Mahavishnu will come out again. No bliss really. But he's carrying, it's a secondary function to the Lord. It's not real bliss. So therefore the jivas in relation to Paramatma, not real bliss. Two birds in the tree, that's all, they're sitting there and they don't see the Lord. So the relationship with the Lord is unknown actually for those jivas. Yes, but still he functions and he protects them and he pushes them out in the material world to get a chance and he brings them back again.